Hello and welcome to the Truck and Driver podcast. It's Matt Ireland sitting in again for Dougie Rankin because he's still a bit busy. Today I'm sat with a friend of mine, Simon Wasp. Now, most people from outside of East Anglia won't know his name other than seeing it perhaps pop up in the magazine occasionally. But if you are from East Anglia, specifically Suffolk, it's probably a name you know quite well because he's had quite a varied career in transport. So I thought it'd be interesting to have a little chat with Simon. Morning, Simon. How you doing?
Morning, mate.
All right?
I'm all right, mate.
Good. Good. So how on earth did you end up in this wonderful industry of transport? Because you grew up around trucks, didn't you? Although not with haulage as such.
Yes. Well, it starts here. My dad built this house we sat in, 69, and he had a farm and he built this house in a field that he owned, and we had an old Austin lorry, a four-wheeler, I've got a picture of that, 712 UBJ, green and grey with a double wooden drop side body, and that was replaced with an AEC Mercury the year I was born, which was 1971.
Yeah.
And I said to Mum, because I knew I'd been into that when I was about three, because I remember she said I fell asleep and worried Dad to death, because when I were driving about, I used to sort of roll into the engine hump and he thought I was going to fall everywhere.
Yeah.
But I was actually weeks old. I didn't know that. Mum, I was a babe in arms. Mum got up in the lorry and sat in the passenger seat. Dad passed me up and I fell asleep in a few minutes.
Yeah.
So I've been in a lorry ever since.
Yeah. Since you were 3 weeks old.
Before I could talk. But I fell in love as I got older. I fell in love with being up so high and looking in the mirrors at something so big and thinking this, it was either my dad or my dad's mechanic. They had the four-wheel license, and then dad got an Arctic when my cousin passed his class one, and the others couldn't drive that, so it was only Stuart. And I used to go out with Stuart every opportunity with fruit, loading fertiliser, taking grain to the mills. We did subcontract containers with that, and we used to work for Wilson's at Hadley when they had a boat in, clearing the hangar at Raiden into the docks. And I just got this massive buzz of transport, of how nobody thinks about it enough.
Yeah.
The science behind it. Nobody is just driving about something to do, are they?
No.
Somebody has routed that vehicle with a reload. Someone is responsible for maintenance, tax discs, tyres, oil, keeping it clean.
Mm-hmm.
It just mushroomed.
Yeah.
And my grandma lived at 16 Voluntary Walk, which is just in the town, near the wreck, behind the recreation ground, and Scantruck is just 5 minutes walk from there.
Or was, until it moved.
Well, it's, yes. Actually, I find that quite upsetting, but progress is progress, but I wish they'd just get the demolition crew in there and get rid, because it looks rather unkempt and it's going to pot with the grass and the...
Yeah.
But yes, but it outgrew that place.
Yeah.
I accept that. It's no longer... The road's not wide enough. The hedge hangs on the road. The school's on the corner.
Yeah.
The doctor's at the bottom.
It's not fit for purpose.
No, it's not. And it's not big enough. But I got to know... I used to craze about, can I go out scanning and look for the fence? When I was five, seven. And as I grew up, I got a bicycle. I could go and look when I wanted. And I met Gary Miller.
So this would have been in the mid-70s with the 1 series.
Yeah, and the O's were still
about. The O's were still about, and then gradually the 2 series would eventually come around.
Yes, and it became a passion of mine to be up there. Every moment I had, I'd be up there, and they thought I was mad, but I made some good friends there.
Yeah.
They all said to me, boy, you went right ahead. You need to be there in a pit. They had a late shift from 6 till midnight.
Yeah.
And I knew Prickle and Paul Mitchell, Hip, blah, blah, they're always changing.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to be there.
Yeah.
I wanted to know what was going on. I wanted to record. And it fascinated me that James Kemble had got 8 320s and Brian Nunn had got a top line coming. And it fascinated me.
Mm-hmm.
So there are your seeds.
Yeah. So growing up through school, were you thinking you were going to go into farming or transport?
Well,
I
always wanted to do what my cousin did, Stuart.
Yeah.
He drove the lorry when there was something for the lorry to do.
Yeah.
And we grew a lot of strawberries then. We used to go up to Wisbeach with them in 12-pound trays.
Yeah.
He brought the fertiliser in. He carted all the grain. He carted all the beet.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be in a situation. I think I'm a bit strange because I can't... Some people could fill a paint pot for 40 years, day in, day out.
Mm-hmm.
Some people could work on a till.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
Yeah, you need variety.
I need variety.
Like me.
But there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
So as I've got older, I knew when I was 6 I didn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to be at school. I didn't want to sit with people I didn't like. I didn't want to listen to things I'm not interested in. I don't want to do sport. I'm not interested in sport. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get me to do it.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'm going to have a real problem as I get older I'm not going to fit in. I'm going to end up in prison. This is going to go wrong. But when I got to 14, 15, I calmed down and I thought, well, what am I revolting against?
Yeah.
And then you start to think, if you get in trouble with the headmaster, get 100 lines, who cares? But to go to police,
yeah,
that isn't funny. Go to prison isn't funny. And mm-hmm. I tax my moped. I've never had a speeding ticket. I've never had a parking ticket.
Yeah.
I'm 53.
Yeah.
So what does that...
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good indication of me. I haven't got police anything. I got stopped once helping someone break into their own house.
Yeah.
And that could have gone very wrong, couldn't it? That's another story for another day.
Yes, absolutely. So what did you do when you left school? Obviously didn't do sick form or anything like that?
No, I couldn't wait to get out of the institution because to me it was a jelly mould and I've got no interest in being part of it.
Yeah.
If you were good at rugby or cricket or you were going to Cambridge and getting 3 A-levels,
mm-hmm.
they were the men they wanted.
Yeah.
They didn't want me. The headmaster hated farmer's sons before he even met me. He hated farmers.
Yeah.
So we're on the back foot, aren't we? I was always in trouble. He didn't want me there.
Yeah.
But I was on this farm every minute I had.
Yeah.
Home and sugar beet, carton sacks of meal, feeding pigs, mucking out chickens.
Yeah.
I've never not worked. I don't look at work as work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not work. It's got to be done. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And that's how I am.
Yeah.
And I don't see everybody else as different to me. They work because they need money to live.
Yeah.
I don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's never been work.
But you ended up at college, didn't you?
Yes. Bit of a story. I wanted to go to Rittle Agricultural College to learn how to farm, to take this place over.
Yeah.
We went and looked at Chadacre, which was still an agricultural college then, but it was very backward. I didn't want to go to Cirencester, but further away. Chelmsford's, I can be home an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So that's what I wanted to do, but I haven't got an O-level in maths, biology, chemistry, physics, nothing.
Right.
You had to have a science subject to get into Riddle.
Right.
So I couldn't go.
Right.
So I either had to go back to school and do an O-level in biology.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't very high up the agenda.
Yeah.
Or go to Otley College.
Yeah.
Which is still there.
Yeah.
On day release as part of working for Dad. So that's what I did. So I went to Otley on day release.
Yeah.
But I started a bit late because it came about a bit late, but it didn't matter.
So was this straight after school, roughly?
Yeah, I was 16. Yeah. I came home on a June and I was hand home sugar beet on the field we still own with Dad and his blokes. And I helped feed the pigs, look after the pigs from day one.
Yeah.
And when I started learning to drive a car, see, I've forgotten about Russell Davis, so it's been missed somewhere. I went to school in Stowmarket I was 3 and a half, kindergarten, to 1979, when my sister was 11, and then I'd be 8, and we both went to school in Ipswich.
Right.
So Sarah was on the girls' school, which was opposite Christchurch Park, that side, and I was at Ipswich School, this side. But I could have gone at 7, but I didn't go till I was 8, and then we went together in the car, so it's a trip done.
Yes.
To double up.
Yeah.
Down the A45, lorries. That was the highlight of the day. Every morning, half an hour on 45.
Yeah.
Same at tea time.
Yeah.
And there was three that took my eye at 10.
Yeah.
That's when I woke up.
Yeah.
Russell Davis, yellow. Bang. Yeah. See it a mile away.
Yeah.
Brain haulage, yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Magnus, lime green.
Yeah.
Stood out like a...
It's all fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
F-12s, 111s, 141s. It's just
So you had the Scania connection.
Yes.
And the livery standing out to you.
Completely obsessed.
Yeah.
From then.
Yeah.
And I thought, I wonder how many 111s Russell Davis have got. Who are Russell Davis?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, the only way I'm going to work it out is if I write them down.
Yeah.
And then I'll compare what I've seen yesterday with last week.
Yeah.
So I was a truck spotter before... Who was the musician guy who played the piano? Who was the Stobart?
Jules Holland.
He was the man that lit the candle. Then it came out of the woods when he wrote the Sunday article. His tour buses were writing down the names of Stobart trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And then it all came out of the woodwork. There was an army that nobody had put together.
Yeah.
Solicitors, barristers. They're not idiots.
Yeah.
Trying to... But it's fun.
Yeah.
But that's where it came from. And then community service, when I was 14, we all had to do on a Thursday afternoon something not academic.
Right.
We had to, and the school had got an RAF, a Navy, an Army, so you could be in one of the troops.
Yeah.
Or do community service for old people and help with their gardening, shopping, chores, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or go to primary schools and help with the children.
Right.
And I usually pick out a list. I end up with what I hate.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. Which leaves me with something I don't want to do, but I'll take that.
Yeah.
It's the worst of a list of crap.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I'm going to the primary schools.
Yeah.
And I did actually enjoy that. And I went to St Helens Primary School in Ipswich, which was up from the Grinning Rat. I don't know if you know where that is. That's off Woodbridge Road in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite fun, actually. We played football, and she really got the children and helped
them. Even though you didn't like sport.
Well, it was, but
you were better than them.
Well, I didn't really play, did I? I was in the playground with them, and I was sort of trying to supervise and stop them kicking each other and being old.
Yeah.
I didn't actually really play. But it was a wonderful thing to do at 14, to mix with children of 5, 7,
mm-hmm.
and help them read. And,
yeah.
And they're different races, too. That's something I wasn't really used to. They were a mixed race down there. But Sasha Crooks, I went to school with him. We were good mates. His dad had some lorries. He was a partner in Ipswich Transit Express with Paul Webster, who owned the auctioneers. And we used to talk about lorries a lot. And Chris Malham's dad sold Ford trucks at John Gross in Hadley Road. So I had a connection with those two boys. With trucks, we used to talk about them a lot. And I got this map of Ipswich Dock that the school gave me to find St Helens. And Duke Street was on it. And Sasha said to me, Russell Davis workshops in Duke Street. Well, I'd never been down there in my life when I was 14. Mm-hmm. Never been in a dock. So when the school finished, that was sweet. And it's just like an ant's nest. Every week it was, but it's what it is, it's a workshop. Everything's broke down, everything that's new, everything that's old has come off and been de-specced.
Mm-hmm.
To be sold, and a continual wash area, and that became my mecca, just that little part of the port. And I'd walk around there, 14, with my notebook at the grain terminal, over the swing bridge, along Tubbles Wharf, back to Juice and the Greyfriars, and then I'd walk back up to Fonero Road, where my mum worked in the hospital as a secretary.
Mm-hmm.
We'd go home.
Yeah.
So that Thursday afternoon, I've got no interest in any academic, no interest in any sporting, no interest, period. Out of gate, gone.
Mm-hmm.
That was my mecca. The journey down to 45.
Yeah.
Calvers, rope and sheet, Burrows. What's under those sheets?
Mm-hmm.
Paper rolls.
Yeah.
You see that now, do you?
No.
You don't realise how special it is
mm-hmm.
until it's gone. But it's all gone, Matt, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yeah.
Everything. If I look at Ipswich Dock, that's the preface of that book, Shambles of Success, which is coming out soon. I've got one story on lists
mm-hmm.
that Rick is editing that will be the last stories. I think there's 84 short stories in there about my life in trucks. The first one is the fuel strike in 2000.
Yeah.
And nobody knows how the pots were bubbling. Before that, I do.
Mm-hmm.
I was part of it.
Yeah.
2,000 people stopped this country.
Yeah.
That's quite frightening.
Mm-hmm.
In 2000.
Yeah. 24 years ago now.
Yeah. Governments don't give in unless you've got them by something
painful.
When they're under pressure, they will do things.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they won't. They don't care.
Very true. It
doesn't matter. I don't care what flag they fly. They're all the same.
Yeah.
They're there for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They're not interested in the working person like you.
No.
Or me.
So you had the seed of Russell Davis well and truly ingrained in you.
Yes.
You then went off to college.
Agricultural College at Chelmsford, I've missed Russell Davis out, and that's quite important.
Yeah, well, we've just started to cover it there, haven't we? So you then went to college. You actually got into Ripple College? So you passed your biology at Otley.
I didn't do biology. I had to go back to school and do biology.
Right.
Or get my O-level.
Right.
And do my biology locally. Or I went to Otley and did Sitting Guilds Phase 1.
Right.
In agriculture, which I did.
Which enabled you to go to Ripple College.
Correct.
Yeah.
When I started to drive a car, when I was 17, I wanted to learn to drive a car to be in the warm in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
I found an instructor in Ipswich called Clive Poole, who had a little Toyota Starlet. And I got that circuit from at school.
Yeah.
The same thing of going down Duke Street, around down Paterson Road, Poole's, Cliff Quay, the grain terminal. All the geese boxes were on the West Bank.
Yeah.
Timber.
And whatnot.
Ferrymasters. It was a railroad terminal, wasn't it? There.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was a busy place, and all the cast containers were coming in there.
Yeah,
and then I'd go back round to Cranfield's Mill, Juice and Greyfriars, and walk back up to Mum to ride home.
Yeah,
but one day, I seem to think it was a Thursday, that I always used to go with Mum on a Thursday. I'd have Thursday afternoon off from work at the farm, go and meet Clyde, go around the docks, look at the lorries, and I knew who Roy Dunnett was. Because his son was at school with me, Warwick. He was a year younger than me. I remember his silver BMW dropped him off at school, RD7777.
Yeah.
And they hadn't got a fence on the front of the yard then. It was a brick wall higher than the path, and I stood on this wall, and I was coming towards him. I thought, there's nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. And he was quite aggressive. He said, what are you doing? Why do you keep spending time talking to my staff, stopping them working? I said, well, I'm interested in what's happening. And we had a bit of a chat, and I thought, he's going to tell me to sod off. I said, well, are you going to tell me? He goes, no. He said, you carry on. You have a look at what you want. He said, when you're done, he said, you come up and see me. You know my office is round the back. I did, but I didn't, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But after about an hour, I went up the... I remember my feet on the metal staircase like it was yesterday. I was 16, 17, and I'm 53. Mm-hmm. I went in, Gabriel Herbert sat there, the PA, and she rang him up, she said, young man, see you. So yeah. He said, bring us some tea. And I went and sat down, we had a chat, and there was this picture on the...
On the side?
Yeah, it was on a table. But it was... And I kept looking at it. I said, what are you looking at that for? Someone I'm interested in. He said, well, do you know who that is? I said, yeah, that's Ron, and that's Glenn, and that's you. And he told me the story that he wanted to get one of, that was the first Russell Davis truck they ever owned. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to find one and rebuild it and give it to Glenn and Ron as a present. And he did, and he found it in 1985. And Lee Smith went and bought it up in Birmingham, I think, in a scrapyard. And it was all done as a secret. He totally rebuilt it.
Yeah.
And presented it to the other two at the Cop Dog Motor House in 1987.
Yeah.
And he said, would you like that picture? And that just bowled me over. And that became the cover of my book. Mm-hmm. That I went, I never dreamt 1 minute I'd write a book about them then. I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
But I did in time. You don't know what's coming.
Yeah.
But I went, he said, you take that home with you. I said, but it's yours. He said, but don't worry. He said, I'll make another one. You have it. And I've still got it. It's one of the most treasured things I've got.
Yeah.
And I suddenly I looked at him and I said, are you offering me a job? Because I suddenly thought, we've been talking here 3/4 hour about costs of diesel and trucks and washing and maintenance and containers. And he said, yeah. He said we've got a management trainee scheme. He said, me and Ron and Glenn, he said, we're trying to create a team who can lead this company. He said, we're getting older. We want to do less. We want to create a second tier of management and the schemes to build that in-house.
Yeah.
He said, we've got 10. I said, yeah, I know. I said, I've seen it in the paper. But I never, there's no point in me applying for that. They wanted an A-level. I haven't got A-levels.
Yeah.
I said, it doesn't matter. I said, well, I'm going to Riddle College, September 89. And this was about March 88. He said, it doesn't matter. He said, you can go, you can come here at Easter, you can come here at Christmas, and you can come back here when you're 21. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is ridiculous. He's offering me a job. And I've already said I'm leaving before I've started.
Yeah.
That's not normal, is it?
He also had faith in you.
Well, that's quite amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was only a boy.
Yeah.
And he said, well, look, you have a word with mum and dad. He said, you get them to come up, we'll arrange it with Gabriel. He said, we'll sit and have a chat about what I'm trying to do. He said, you can do a month in the workshop in service reception. He said, you could become a mechanic if you want. He said, you can work in the field sales and understand how that works. You can go to the paint shop at Ipswich. You can be on a traffic desk. You can be a rent master. You can learn and understand how the whole thing fits together. I thought, this is insane. Mm-hmm. This is my dream. This is my dream. Mm-hmm. Is this real? Is this happening? And he said, well, I don't know how it wound up, but he said, before you go, because we've got, he said, Carco, he said, you want to know the number plates of their two new FL10s? And I said, yeah. And they'd been on the road 2 weeks, and I was in the yard on the Saturday, a fortnight ago. Well, they'd been on the road 10 days. But I didn't tell him any of this. And he found the right page. I said, E240 and 241 TNG. And his face was just...
So did they own Carco at the time?
Yeah, they bought it. Yeah, they bought it. 12th of November, 87, they bought it off Ted Seaman. Mm-hmm. And I remember the date because Keith Mingy was running sand to Sizewell B. Mm-hmm. And they all come back from the yard to work at the end of the day, and that was, they didn't know anything was going on.
Right.
And they all come in the gate, someone else parked the truck, they all went upstairs, and they met Martin Anderton, was transport manager, before he was at Tanning. Mm-hmm. And Ron Davis sat there, and Philip West, who was the financial director, and then they all went down the elephant and got really sherbeted. Mm-hmm. but the things stick in your head, don't they, mate, some things. And I looked at him and I said, well, am I right? And he didn't answer the question. And I thought about that all my life. He must have thought, who the hell is this bloke? He's 16. He doesn't even work here. He knows more about this business than most of my staff. How can he know those number plates? They've only been on the road 10 days. Mm-hmm. But he didn't say I was right or wrong.
Yeah.
And that man, he'd never leave you. He's always finished in a sentence. Mm-hmm. But I went to work there in November. Mum and Dad came out and met him. And I earned a little more money, but I had to commute shorter hours. But it was very demanding.
So how old were you then? 17. Did you pass your car test?
Second time.
Yeah.
I passed it second test October.
Yeah.
So I had got a car ready to commute in the rain. And so I got my bike as well.
Yeah. So you started at Russell Davis.
1st November 88.
Yeah.
17.
Until you went to Ripple College.
Yeah. I finished in August 89, came home, got straight on the track of the car call.
Yeah.
Then I went to Ripple in September.
Yeah.
In 89, which was a big step to be away from here. I didn't really like it the first few weeks. I hated it, to be honest. I'd come home every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But I did start to fit in when I started to meet people and talk, and I felt more comfortable. But it's a different environment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, especially if you didn't like the institutionalised learning anyway.
I don't. But you were taught more like an adult than a child.
Yeah.
And I was interested in what we were doing.
Yeah.
Apart from soil science, I found that rather drawn out and dull.
Yeah.
Analysing sand and stone and rocks, it's not particularly...
So how long were you at Ripple for then?
4 years, actually, because I got cancer in 91 and dropped out.
Right.
So it's all been a bit of a disaster, really. It's been rather difficult.
Yeah.
So, but I hadn't been feeling very well. I'd been out on sandwich. I worked on a farm on the fens at St Ives. I fell out with him and walked out, never went back. Then my Uncle Peter got me a job lambing sheep at Elverdon on the estate, which was an incredible place to work.
Yeah.
It's the largest private estate in Britain, 25,000 acres. They remeasured it while I worked there, and I gained 3,000 acres.
Right. So, but then you what, fell ill when you were there?
I went back to college. I was ill when I was at Elverdon, didn't know.
Yeah.
Went back to college. I got a lump in my neck, and I had a chest x-ray, and I got a mass on my chest, and I got cancer of the lymph system. So I dropped out of college to try and get better, and I went back.
Mm-hmm.
I did get better. I went to work for Lord Blakeney that summer, but I was weak.
Yeah.
And I've always been weak since then.
Yeah.
But I'm still here.
Did you go back to Russell Davis at all?
No, I always wanted to.
But you never...
That was always my plan, but...
You never got the chance.
Well, I went to America combining because I wanted to.
Yeah. How old were you then?
24.
Yeah.
That was 1995.
Mm-hmm.
And that was insane.
Yeah.
Who do you know has driven a combine from Texas to Canada?
Not many people.
Who do you know has passed their American CDL, which is a commercial driver's license?
Mm-hmm. A few.
And driven a truck as a gang, because we moved as a team with
the weather. What were you doing more of, the truck driving or the combine?
All of it is the answer.
Yeah.
I did all of it. I was the only one who did all of it. I started on the chaser bin.
Yeah.
I went on a combine and I finished on the trucks.
Yeah.
And I looked after his kids.
Which was a favourite bit?
Sandwiches.
Combines, trucks.
I like them all in different ways,
mm-hmm.
is the answer. The trouble is with a combine is you're just stuck on this reel.
Yeah.
When you're driving the truck, you know, you're not just X. You're everywhere. You're between, you're in places, roads, mills. Yeah. It's different.
Yeah.
And you get time to stop.
Mm-hmm.
On the combine, you don't stop at all.
Yeah.
And the bin is insane. But I still do that now. 28 years I've driven a bin at Forest from there.
Yeah. So you came back after doing that.
Yeah, I passed my HGV before I went.
Yeah.
And then I had to get a job.
Did you actually go driving then?
Yeah, I went to work for Palmer. He was the only one to give me a job.
Yeah.
I talked to loads of people. I got no experience. I didn't think I could do it. I was terrified about going out with loads.
Yeah.
That was August 94, I passed my test. That's 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And I've known Brian already because he used to work for Dad, carton of beans for Gitton Valley Growers, which was the co-op that Dad was in.
Yeah.
I remember the lorries up here when I was a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to see Brian in 91. He said, you get your test boy, come and see me. So I went to see him, but he hadn't got any jobs. But then somebody left, and then I went.
Right.
And I did my operator license CPC management thing there. And I thought, well, it's winter time, I'll learn this. And then I got a job, and I was doing that as well. Home study, it was all a bit much.
Yeah. So Brian's work, what was it, a lot of ferry trailers?
Not then.
No,
he wasn't in that at all. When I started, we did paper for Fintransit.
Yeah.
On the roll and on end.
Yeah.
We had regular places like Clay's at Bungie. We used to go to the... There was a night job at Cragley Heath at Birmingham.
Uh-huh.
Stoke-on-Trent to the Sentinel. That's the first place I ever went with a lorry. on Hells with Paul Collins, my mate. He's at Robert Arnold's now. He's gone back to driving. He's still about Colchester. Benham's. We took a lot of paper in there. I went to Sarah's the first week with Wardle Stories, where she worked with a pallet of cardboard.
Yeah.
And we did a lot of work for IBC, which was vegetables and bulkers with the electric floors.
Yeah.
But that was the mainstay of our work. It was all bulker trays, beetroot, potatoes, onions, daffodil bulbs, that sort of stuff.
So how long were you with Brian?
Well, I was only ever a casual because I was going to New Zealand in the February for a month.
Right.
He said, that's fine.
Yeah.
And then Ravi had an accident and he took my lorry and he chucked me out, which I didn't think was very nice, but that's life, isn't it?
Yeah.
But he was full-time and I
wasn't.
And
you were. So you went to New Zealand? Went to New Zealand for a holiday?
Yeah.
Presumably?
It was like a cultural tour, mind-blowing.
Right.
And then I was going combining in April 95, you see, which was, so I started at Brian's November 94.
Yeah.
And I worked most days. It was the odd day, there was a lorry, no job, so it was a service or something, and they shuffled them around, so I didn't go.
Mm-hmm.
But that was my start.
Yeah.
And then I came back after New Zealand, but it was a running joke with Brian. Whenever I was about, got nothing to do, I'd ring him up, say, do you want any help?
Yeah.
And someone would ring within a day or two, and I'd just do odd jobs. And,
yeah.
And then I went in the office when I was ill.
Yeah.
Which was a great, my immune system collapsed. I went to work for Leggetts.
Available
at Woolpit, which was brilliant, but the wages were appalling. But what a setup! Mm-hmm. Lovely equipment, lovely people, lovely yard. 1 minute, I'm on the 14 on it.
Yeah,
there. Well, it's caught an hour from Brian through the snow and the ice and the trees and the horses we had around the stables.
Yeah,
it's a very difficult place to get at.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a start, and I was under 25, no hazmat, no one will touch you, mate.
Yeah,
and Russell Davis was sold when I was in America.
Right, does he come by then?
Yes, that was May 95. There was nothing to come, it wasn't there to come back to.
Right. So when you came back from combining, there's no Russell Davis.
No.
So what did you do? Carry on driving?
Gosh. Well, yeah, I did. When was that? I came back.
95.
96. I just did casual driving for Brian.
Mm-hmm.
I went to John Goodwin's. I had 2 years on nights doing peas.
Yeah.
And I went back to Moulton Manor in 96 for the harvest, where I was when I came out of college. I did two harvests at Moulton. You lose track of everything, don't you, mate?
You do, yeah.
I went to John Goodwin's in 97, and he'd actually sold out, but he was still there doing the transition with WHL.
Yeah.
And then my immune system collapsed in the 98. I went to John Forrest, my first harvest, 97, 98.
Mm-hmm.
And 98, I was very ill. I'd got no platelets, no red cells, no white cells. And my immune system had just turned on itself, and I was in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
My nose just wouldn't stop bleeding.
Yeah.
And I used to go and sit in Brian's office when I got better.
Yeah.
Odd days, to try and learn, help Keith the phone, and we'd talk about routing and managing of people and equipment mm-hmm. and work. But he'd got into tilts then.
Yeah.
And then Eric said, there was a flyer coming from RTT in 1999 about DGSA. It was a new government
scheme, system?
Well, the EU brought it in. Like the chemicals was not being done well enough.
Yeah.
It was slapdash. People would pull labels off stuff.
Yeah.
Didn't care.
Yeah.
And they've got to tighten up on that. And rightly so, because it's not nice. We need chlorine to make water drinkable.
So what was the flyer about then?
Well, RTT said as of 1st of January 2000, and Brian had got some ADR bonds, one of them was me, you're going to need a DGSA to do this position for you, and we are happy to offer it at £600 a year.
Right.
Brian looked at the flyer, he said, screw you. And he screwed up and threw it in the bin.
Yeah.
I said, what are you going to do then? So, I don't know. I said, I'll do it. So I said, but we've got to do it because
it's coming.
Portbridge, they need us to do their hazardous stuff.
Yeah.
And then Eric was in the office then, because he sold his lorry, and he said, why don't you do that? I said, what? He said, why don't you go and get qualified? He said, you know Alan Carter, and you've been to Goodwin's, and you've got mates at Leggetts. He said, hey, put yourself about.
So you trained to become a Danish Good Safety Advisor?
And I thought, I don't want to do that. And I thought, well, hang on, I'm in a muddle, because I can't work.
Mm-hmm.
I can't work. I'm a wreck. And I'm never going to work like I want to.
Yeah.
I'm no good to a farmer. They want someone 15 hours when they're busy. Same on a lorry.
Yeah.
Well, I come home and I thought, I don't know. That would keep me in touch with
all
what's going on.
Yeah.
And I know Michael Fairs. Robert Arnold. I knew who he was. I knew Brian Nunn. I think I can. And that's...
And you could perhaps say as well, because when you were at school and you did your day release with the younger kids, that was almost teaching of a sorts at the time, and you quite enjoyed, didn't you? So you had that experience.
Although I never tied it together.
Yeah.
Because I never thought, to me, I wasn't a teacher. I was someone to ask clarification of a fact.
Yeah.
Not really, but that wasn't teaching. But I suppose it is in a way, isn't it? Because those two orange books are actually written in German originally, and then they're translated into English, and they don't translate very well.
No.
And sometimes you can read a paragraph, and it isn't actually clear what it's saying.
Yeah.
And I was actually terrified, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I'd got a customer base that was building.
Yeah.
I failed one exam. I did it again. I did a home study with Fred Berry, got the pack. I sat down in that summer house where we've sat.
Yeah.
And learned it as best I could. I did an exam. And I went with Glenn Appleby for my resit. And I used to rent him trucks at Russell Davis.
Right.
And he took me up for my exam. So, because I still wasn't very well. I was weak.
So what year was this?
99.
99, yeah.
And he said, keep in touch on. He said, I'm going to do this for 5 years. So I've got to pass this. But he said, I don't think I'm going to do it again. He said, oh, you can do it when I pack up. And that's what I did. And I've worked for GMA since 2004.
Yeah.
When he retired.
And you've now got over 50,
there's over 50
customers.
Yeah. I got up to 30. I started with 6. I got up to 35 in 6 months.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were through Fluff's Lisa at Haven. And that's how I met you.
Yeah.
Was through him.
Mm-hmm.
When you were at Haven.
Yeah.
And Lisa, see, Haven needed someone to put, they wouldn't let, Norfolk Line wouldn't let them put trailers on a quay without DGSA to be responsible for them. And then I got Dave Everard.
Lots of customers.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, were you still driving?
Yeah.
Just occasionally, casually?
Yeah, or jobs, yeah.
Yeah.
So I work, basically what I've always done is work for Forrest. I've done 28 harvests now at Mowers, and that's doubled from 2008 to 5,000 we find there.
So you're doing that, a bit of driving, DGSA.
Yeah.
And then continuing on.
I got into trade plating, which I thought would be interesting, because I didn't like being alone much in a cab on my own. I wanted some company, so I thought, well, if I got took and picked up, I'd be with people more.
Yeah.
And I liked that.
Who was it for?
Chassis cab, for a start.
Chassis cab DAF.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I knew David Scarf took a lot of pictures.
Yeah.
And I wanted to meet him, because he's an old Scantrade employee, and Brian bought a DAF.
Yeah.
And I met him with him, and I said, how'd you get on? Because he got this DAF, he got no one to deliver it. I said, how do you get on with delivering stuff? He said, well, I struggle. I said, do you nick mechanics? He said, no, I can't afford to. I said, well, I've got to do some odd days. And I worked there 8 years for him.
Yeah.
And then the recession came in 08, the bottom just fell out.
Yeah.
Basically. But 06, the digital tacker was finally coming.
Yes, and it did come.
Yes, although it had been fudged and put back. And I know that the manufacturers are actually suing the EU because they've got warehouses full of new tacos with no market that they bought. So they had to send...
The DigiCards came out.
May the 1st, 06. And I spoke to a few of my customers who rung me about stuff. I said, look, the DigiTaco's coming. If I went and learned how it worked, could I come and tell you how it works?
Yeah.
And they all said yes.
Yeah.
Every single one said yes. I was all right if I do this.
Yeah.
And there was a course at Braintree at Novadate, which was the first ever digital tachograph, train the trainer week's training to teach how they work, January 06. So I went down there for a week.
Yeah.
And I met ex-police in London, what they call the Met.
Met police.
What a bloke he was.
Yeah.
I've met some incredible people in my life, Matt.
Yeah.
But some of them are really influential, and some of them are not.
Yeah, so is that teaching obviously not ongoing anymore because it's been with us nearly,
well, it's still part,
nearly 20 years now, isn't it?
Tachographs are obviously still part of CBC.
Yes.
It's very important.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm the only sitting guilds trained instructor in Suffolk.
Yeah.
Still.
But when did the when did the driver CBC come in? That came in later, didn't it? 2009.
For coaches first, a year earlier than the trucks.
Yeah.
And I started teaching it in 10.
Yeah.
And that was never my intention.
Yeah.
If you ever said to me when I was 15,
you'd be a teacher.
A consultant and a teacher, I'd said, you're off your head. I'm going to pick up chicken's eggs.
Yeah. And look what happened. So how did you end up teaching people with your driver CPC?
Well, through Peter Kirkham, really.
Yeah.
Which is another, and he's another very influential man.
Yeah. You said it's not something you wanted to do.
No.
As such. So how did you end up doing it?
Well,
were you approached because you're a DGSA for people? Or was it just...
Well, Peter said.
Yeah.
I'd done my ADR with Peter in 2000.
Yeah.
And I liked him. He's a really nice person. He's not an arrogant.
No.
He's very matter of fact.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Mm-hmm. There's no waffle.
Yeah.
There's no trying to make people look silly.
Yeah.
It's just, look, this is what you need to know to pass your exam, and this is what I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
And that's great. That's what we need, is more...
So you pass your ADR?
With the second time. Yeah, I did an ADR in 96 in Harwich with a bloke called Ron. He was a great guy, but it was a dingy old cellar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a terrible place. We couldn't keep away.
Yeah.
But apparently, you need to be in a bright room. That taught me that.
Yeah.
And I did it at Palmer's at Mendlesham in 2000. And then I got Peter up in 04 for a mate of mine to do a course, and I put a few people in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was never intentional. That was a one-off to help Rockhead, Dave Everard, Clayton Volker, Jimmy Downey.
Yeah.
Never thought I'd do it again.
Mm-hmm.
But I did. I've been doing it ever since.
Yeah.
And I just did one to help a few mates.
Yeah.
And then people talk, and they ring you up and say, can you this, can you that?
Yeah.
And Peter said, well, we got CPC, he said, you could do some up here on my behalf, because I've had him coming up doing.
Yeah.
He said, you can talk to people, you can do that. He said, I'll give you the syllabus.
Yeah.
Really? I said, all right, I'll have a go. And I've got a few mates. Were you on the first class I ever had?
My first day CPC I did with RTT training, funnily enough.
Right,
and the trainer tried to show us how to thread a ratchet strap, and he couldn't
do it.
So, that was a good start.
Do you think that's why RTT?
Maybe.
But they got me through my HGV.
So you ended up, so come sort of the early 2000, or well, this is late, this is 2009, wasn't it? You've transitioned from casual driver more into teaching.
Yes. Well, 2010, 2006, I did my digital tag. I went all over the place.
Yeah.
Star Transport, Ralph Morton's, Henry Davis. I went to Dover and did one for Peter.
Yeah.
But I've got used to talking to a crew of, excuse the pun, hairy arsed two lorry drivers who don't want to be there.
Yeah.
That's the stumbling block.
Yeah.
Is getting someone to listen who doesn't want to know because they want to go home.
Who's not interested. Yeah.
But that is hard work, and I've worn out of it, mate. I've done 14 years of CPC of generally being somewhere where they don't want you.
Yeah.
To achieve a goal that they don't want.
Yeah.
To tell people stuff that they know.
Yeah.
So how does that work?
Yeah, it's very difficult. So, you did that, and you've been doing your teaching. You've also bought a classic truck as such.
That's complicated.
Would you call it classic?
I would.
Now, isn't it?
That's another big thread. That is the first R500 V8 in Suffolk.
Right.
Long story. I helped get it and Wendy.
So it was bought new by Carters in...
2004.
Yeah.
October 04, Ray Ebert rang me up and I was Carton Beat.
Mm-hmm.
In a tractor.
So
my lorry's here, boy, and I went and looked at it, and I took a picture of it. Well, if you'd ever said I'd be involved in that and owning that, and I've got the number plate R10CEL, again, I'd say you were cuckoo.
Yes. So that Carters had it, then they got sold to Wincanton's.
Wincanton bought the whole business in 08.
And eventually...
But they sold that truck.
But then the V8, off it went.
Derek Spall bought it to sell it.
Yeah.
It went to Scotland.
Yeah.
And he tried to sell the Cherish plate online. And Go Nuts saw it.
Right.
If you know who he is, Chris Grindy, who's Noddy's son, Felix Shunt.
Mm-hmm.
And he told Goaty, because that should have been on Ray Everett's and their old mates, said, you want this plate.
So you got the truck.
2019, we went up to Scotland, and I'd met Murdoch's. He did a lot of mechanic work for them, Brian. I said, will you blah, blah? He said, yeah, boy, I'll meet you from the hotel. He took us up, got underneath it in the rain in his overalls, so as dry as a chip, so I'm going to take it out.
Lovely.
And we bought it and driven out.
Mm-hmm. And restored it back in Carters colours.
COVID, we put it back as it was.
Yeah.
But I've missed out my lorries in life because I've always had my own lorries and I've done it.
Yes.
Because every opportunity I looked at, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And I thought I could do it.
Owned your own trucks, full haulage.
Yes.
Starting when?
2009.
Yeah. So it was around the same time you started teaching driver CPC?
Yes.
You started your own company?
Yes.
Yeah.
Bulk haulage. It still exists, but it doesn't do much.
Yeah. So by bulk, it wasn't actually bulk tippers, was it?
No, it was power tanks.
Yeah.
I thought if I had a niche that no one else could touch, I could make it a goer.
Yeah. Fair enough.
But it wasn't to be.
No.
I did have thousands of lovely days, but I had some very black days, and they were huge.
Yeah. There's only so much you can fight against.
You can't.
Yeah.
And when you're small, see, like maritime, I could go to Goodyear as fleet manager and say, I want to buy 1,000 steer tyres.
Yeah.
And I could go around all the manufacturers, and I'm actually telling them
how much you're going to pay.
What I'm going to pay. Yeah. If they want the business.
But you can't free trucks.
No. I want one tyre. Yeah. I pay what they ask.
Absolutely.
And I'm like a corp in the city.
Yes. Yeah.
And you can't do it.
No.
But I'm so proud I tried.
Yeah.
You've got to do what you want to do. If your heart's in it.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Yeah. So you're pulling for Van Bentham's.
Yes, at the start. Yeah.
You're the only UK truck in their colours, is that right?
Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had the only DAF in the fleet in their colours at the time.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a thing.
Yeah.
And I'm really proud of that.
Yeah.
And it's not an easy job either. It's very technical. And if they're in Holland, they're very limited what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't got the flexibility. Like, if you ring IRF or Portman, so I'm not working tomorrow, they can cover it.
Well, I did a day for you, didn't I?
Yeah.
Helping out.
Yeah.
Actually driving a Van Benton truck.
We spent most of a night in... Dagenham, didn't we?
Well, we did that. I also drove a powder tank for you.
Well, you...
Because it was a Scania of Opticruise with a clutch, which I hadn't driven before.
You were in that left hooker the day my DAF blew up.
Yeah.
Because you didn't come the next day, because Steve drove at Scania, because we haven't got a lorry to do on.
Yeah.
And I never got over that engine failure. And DAF should have helped me more. DAF UK.
Yeah.
That was a disgrace.
Yeah.
It was their lorry, it was crap.
Yeah. But there we go, it's manufacturers, isn't it? So...
Yeah, but it's a lesson, isn't it?
It is a lesson, yeah. But so you've had your own trucks. You've now got
your Isla's a toy for shows.
Yes.
It'll never work. No. It's too precious.
Exactly. And in amongst all of that, you've also written a book on Russell Davis.
Yes.
How long did that take? An awful long time.
20 years of correlating stuff.
Yeah.
18 months to put all that rubbish into a legible order.
Yeah.
And then it took my publisher 18 months to put what I gave him into the book.
Right.
So that was a massive undertaking. And I started Carter's book in May 83.
Yeah.
84, May 84, with their first 38-ton units. I'm still working on that.
Yeah.
It's enormous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when did your Russell Davis book come out?
04, wasn't it?
So it's 20 years ago now.
Yeah, it's 20 years
ago. Which is quite scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there still history, mate,
yeah. There is, yeah. Is there still any for sale?
Yes.
If people would like
them? I've got about 200 left. I've made 1,500.
Yeah, that's not bad going, really, is it?
No, it's a very niche thing, and it's very expensive, but it's hell of a book.
Yeah.
It's two books in a book.
Yeah.
It's such a spin-off of Goodways, McIntyre's. People don't understand. John Williams was the youngest director of Russell Davis ever. Mm-hmm. He only came up with Felix Doe.
And who is John Williams, for those that don't know?
He's just sold Maritime.
Yeah.
So he built Maritime from dust. It was losing money with the Chinese, and they gave it to him.
Yeah.
So here, John, he's 140 lorries. Do what he can with that.
Yeah.
And he remortgaged his house in 01. That was a very brave thing to do on his own. But his knowledge.
Yeah.
And Evergreen, really, are still handled today in the Russell Davis mindset.
Right.
Through all the change of Russell Evergreen first coming in here, 1979, 1980, right through to today... It's always been, apart from when Russell Davis fell out with Green Jack in 86, but they've always done it through Securicorps, DHL, Maritime.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same, it's Russell Davis' mind of trains, docks. Incredible.
Yeah. So what do you do now then?
I'm not well, Matt, is the answer. I've had cancer three times, and how I even exist is a miracle.
You're still here, that's the main
I'm still thing. Here. My fingers don't. I've got nerve damage in my hands. Mm-hmm. I can't grip pens, knives.
Yeah.
I'm weak. My legs ache all the time. But I'm driven.
Yeah.
And I'm very proud I exist.
Yeah. So what do you do? You organise a truck show for starters?
Yes, well, we've had a truck show between us. Me and my friends started it in 06 at Crowfield in a free pub. And we got drunk.
Yeah. and from that truck show as well, as we discussed with Mr. Billman recently, that's where Swedefest evolved.
Well, it's quite
out of, didn't it?
It's actually magical.
Great
Ashfield Truck Rally, we haven't mentioned that, I grew up with that, I loved it. It was my everything.
Yeah.
And when it stopped, I wanted to do something, and Roy Barker helped me get Crowfield going behind the curtain. Lovely man, farmer at Walsham Way.
Yeah.
Still see him at the Suffolk Show.
So you started Crowfield Truck Rally.
With his brain and Glenn Johnson's.
So how many trucks were at the very
52.
First?
52.
Yeah, held at the pub.
And I hadn't got insurance. I'd got no, this is the truth. I'd got no insurance, no liability insurance, and no money to pay for it.
Yeah.
I got nowhere to put it. Couldn't find a venue.
Yeah.
And I worked with Danny at Bryan's.
Yeah.
We were good friends.
Yeah.
She said, I'll plug both your gaps.
Yeah.
I said, really? Yeah. She said, I spoke to Glenn. East Coast Truckers, we were all in East Coast Truckers there. It was a great thing.
Yeah.
we can have their insurance for nothing if we give them the money we raise. And I found a pub.
Yeah.
She said, it's my local pub. We've got a field 2 acres out the back. I said to the landlord, he said, what am I going to do with this field? I've got to do something. She said, well, you have a chat show.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, okay. And she was having a laugh.
Yeah.
I said, well, I'll come and have a look. But it's a start, isn't it?
Yeah. And from there it grew into the Orwell Crossing. Yeah.
And Rob became the chief parker. And I wanted to take it to the crossing, but we all got stuck.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't viable anymore. It's too small. You can't put 8 tonne in a meadow.
No.
Can you? There's no car park. The toilets aren't enough. There's no showers.
But it moved to the Orwell Crossing.
And I took it to the crossing and I said, I'm taking it. If you come with me, I want you all to come. But if you don't, you don't. I'm not coming back here. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
We had 4 hours towing trucks out of mud.
Yeah.
That was a nightmare.
Yeah. And the Orwell Crossing's got all the facilities there.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Ready to go, wasn't it?
And then we got thrown out of there because it changed hands. Yeah. And I thought, well, we're stuffed.
And then it closed.
Yes. So we got no venue.
Yeah.
Rob went to Stoneham. Danny went to Stoneham. She wanted me to come to Stoneham with Crowfield, and I wouldn't. I wanted to go to Foxhall. She wouldn't come to Foxhall. So it's a finish, isn't it? So we split.
Yeah.
And so I started Foxfest, and she started Stoneham Truckshow.
Yeah.
But she's now resigned. But it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But it's still going on.
Yeah.
The point is, Swedefest, the gathering of the Griffin, Rob said at East Coast, we had a lineup of Scanias in Norwich.
Yeah.
And he said, wouldn't it be lovely to have a Scania show? What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
That was 08. I said, brilliant. He said, will you help? I said, yeah, I'll back you 100%. I'll get everything from Suffolk, push it. I'll talk to the dealer. Boom. And that's what we did. That was the start of the Griffin that became Swedenfest when he got thrown out of the crossing because he got nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And the only way he could have Swede pavers on him was to make it.
Volvo as well.
Yeah. He said, I don't want to do this, Simon. And he said, but I'm either going to have to or quit.
Yeah.
I said, well, you can't quit. So if you lose a few Scania fans,
mm-hmm.
So
the rest is history, really, isn't it?
And it all came from that little pub.
Yeah.
And that came from Ashfield.
Yeah.
That's magic.
It is, really, isn't it?
And it's raised, between them, they've raised over 50 grand for charity.
Yeah.
And the fun we've had, and the people who've met who and changed jobs and got married through it, it's insane.
Yeah.
And it was just a few trucks in a muddy field.
Yeah.
But it is.
Bit like a truck fest.
Well, I don't want to go down that route. I did my last in 08.
So when Foxfest happens in June?
Yes.
Yeah.
I want the middle of June this year because I've become a steward at Suffolk Show now.
Right.
And I run my legs out doing that. And to do Swedefest, Foxfest on the back of that, I can't do it.
Fair enough.
So I want a bit of a gap.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. You helped me with Terry Seaman's phone.
Yeah.
Dave Beecroft, who sold Volvos to Kembles. Debbie was show director once. The daughter there runs it. And she said to Dave, I want to do this for the Queen. I want 7 decades of trucks for the 70th anniversary.
Yeah.
Can you help me?
Yeah.
He said, well, I know a few. He said, but really, you want Simon involved in this because he can pull that together.
Yeah.
And that's how I got involved and I've become a steward of the Suffolk Show.
Right.
But we got 7 decades of trucks for the Queen.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. Have you ever seen 7 decades of lorries in a line?
Not that I know of.
I don't think it's ever happened on the globe.
Mm-hmm.
It'll never happen again.
Yeah.
And just that on its own, what an achievement.
Yeah. Yeah. So what does the future hold for Simon Wasp?
I want to do more writing.
Yeah.
I've got 10 unfinished books
that
I need to focus on, but mentally I can't do it. I've got an allotment. There's a garden here. I've got a bit of land down there. I've always got hedge to cut, grass to cut, wood to cut. I want to drive a little bit, but not much. I want the shows to keep going.
Yeah.
I've lost interest in actually driving lorries for other people.
Yeah.
How it's all put together. I hate it compared to what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I could write a book on why I don't want to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't changed. I'm still me.
Yeah.
Everything around me has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not doing an 8 o'clock Leeds, tip and load, Felixstowe back. I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want it, you come and get it.
Yeah.
I'm not going into London. If you want anything, you can come and get it. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm not going.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Sad, but my sunshine's gone out.
Yeah.
I'm 53. I've been battered.
Are you happy doing the teaching?
Mentally, it's too much now.
Right.
I haven't got the energy to do it anymore, mate. I keep getting migraines, so I've got to stop, haven't I?
Yeah.
And I've given it up for now, and I'm going to wait and see what Keir wants to do with it, because Conservatives didn't know what to do with it.
No, just get pushed back. It's better now we've got a new government.
I need a new agenda, a new syllabus to discuss. I could do it perhaps a bit for a few mates, but I'm not interested in.
So concentrate on the truck show, your DGSA.
Yes. I've been a DGSA 250 years.
Yeah.
What a statement.
Yeah.
Something that I never wanted to do. I hated science at school. I liked biology and animals, but I've no interest in physics and chemistry. I've been bored to death.
Yeah.
And then I get a living out of it.
Yeah.
That's mad. And I thought, well, I'll only do a few weeks with this. I'll get sued. I'll say something wrong. Go to court. Go bust. And at the end of that, 25 years.
You must be doing something right then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm careful what I say, and I think, but the phone can ring at any moment with anything, and you've got to deal with it. And a lot of people couldn't cope with that. But I've got to do something, and I enjoy it, and it's took me places. I've learnt a lot.
Yeah.
Hugh Wilson helped him do his book.
Yeah.
And that came from a Russell Davis book that went to digital tattoo training, that took the 141 to the show. And it's just, and I'm now their DGSA.
Yeah. And the Russell Davis 111 is 110, sorry, is still about.
Yes.
At Ipswich Truck Museum. Ipswich Transport Museum.
Yes. And you can take it to Sweetfest.
And you occasionally take that out?
At the end of the month, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I took it to Foxfest.
Yeah.
And it needs, to drive that is mind blowing. I was 17 when I first drove that, man.
Yeah.
I'm 53. It's been rebuilt twice since then.
Yeah.
What a truck.
Yeah.
The history that, and the memories, and the mindset that that evokes.
Is that your favourite truck of all time?
Yes. Yeah. Nothing will ever change.
That was quite a quick yes, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, nothing to think about.
Even with Ida sat in the drive.
Yes. There's nothing to think about.
Yeah.
One is the 110, two is the 141, three is Isla.
Yeah.
In that order.
Fair enough.
Nothing will alter that.
No, never.
But it's not just metal and plastic to me, is it?
No.
Never was, never will be.
No. It's funny how you get attached to trucks, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think it's dangerous.
It can be, and expensive, yeah.
Expensive toys. It's better to have a model, isn't it?
Well,
appreciation is nothing.
It's cheaper, that's for certain.
It doesn't burn any diesel. The driver never rung off sick.
Yeah, but you can't drive a model.
He never hit a car.
Can't drive a model. And that's where you get the ultimate pleasure from it, isn't it?
I took a stage for GMA in Ipswich, this fortnight ago for the church.
Yeah.
And I just thought how wonderful it felt to sit up there, just like it did when I was 5, 7.
Yeah.
To be up high and look in the mirrors and think, cool.
Yeah.
And you never leave. You never lose that, man.
No.
And I have lost my license several times since then, and I couldn't even get it for a start. And that's been a terrible time in my life. I hate prohibition. Mm-hmm. I hate you can't do that. I hate that.
Yeah.
I like choice.
Mm-hmm.
Option.
Yeah.
And I want to keep them all open.
Yeah.
And I want to still drive a lorry for Jim Farr an odd day or do a load of grain somewhere or something. I'd like that.
Yeah.
But I haven't got the stamina anymore.
No.
I'm weak.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it. I just can't.
Having cancer 3 times is going to take it out of you, let's be honest.
It would muller anybody, wouldn't it? It would weaken the strongest.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad I'm here, and I have a managerial input in a lot of things.
Yeah.
The farm I work at, we discuss things.
Yeah.
All the businesses I work for, I'm like a middle.
Mm-hmm.
I know everybody's business,
yeah.
And that's actually quite frightening.
Yeah.
I could do a lot of damage with that, but I don't want to. But it's lovely to be trusted and to have a name that you earn. That if Simon says this is the fire extinguishers you need legally, that's the truth.
Yeah.
These are the boards you need, the dimensions you need, and they trust me.
Yeah.
And you can put this, and you can put that with that, and you can't do this, and they trust me.
Yeah.
But you learn that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And we all make mistakes.
Yeah.
But I've had two guys hospitalised, and they've both come away fine. Fumes, basically, knocked them out.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty good. And it's not a lie. I have overseen the global movement of millions of tonnes of hazardous goods for 25 years.
Yeah.
What a statement.
Yeah.
And that's the truth, isn't it?
Yeah.
And sometimes I think, really?
Yeah.
What?
And you still enjoy driving a truck occasionally?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I just wish. If I'd never had cancer at 19, I'd have had a totally different life.
Yeah.
But I did. And I haven't.
Yeah.
And that's the end of that, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I've made the best.
Yeah.
I never answer a question like normal people, but I was in a pub when I love that pub up there, Chestnut Hall. It's my life.
Mm-hmm.
Billy, he said, "Hi, boy." I said, "Well," and he thought, "Here we go." I said, "It's better to play a bad hand well than a good hand badly."
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me, he said, "Why don't you just bloody say you're all right?" Well, I wasn't all right, was I?
No.
But it's not his fault.
No.
I've got problems. I was trying to fix them.
Yeah.
And I was trying to play my bad hand the best way I could.
Yeah.
And that's what I meant, but it's a bit too deep to him. He just wanted to have a beer.
Yeah. Right, well, I think we're out of time now, Simon, so it's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, thank you for giving up your time.
That's right.
And it's very therapeutic.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing. We're all too busy to look back.
Yeah.
And you can't change back. You can only change now and forward.
Yeah.
But yesterday taught us everything we need to go forward.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And you mustn't forget it.
Mm-hmm. No. Fair enough.
Well, thank you very much for listening. Yeah. I hope you enjoyed it.
Brilliant, mate.
And we shall talk again soon.
Well done.
Thank you very much.